Fit Pro Podcast, episode 11.
Sit down, do the work, and get around the right people. That's a very big thing.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to the Fit Pro Podcast. Before we get into the show, I just wanted to say a few words. I'd like to thank everybody that's been here since episode 0. We are up to episode 11 already. I can't believe how fast time flies. And if you haven't left a review on the Fit Pro Podcast yet, don't worry, I forgive you, but I won't forgive you after this episode. So you need to head to fitpropodcast.com, click on your favorite episode. There's a leave a review button. I make it really, really easy. Click that button, head, it'll redirect you to iTunes. You need to have an iTunes account. Just leave a 5-star review, leave a comment. It would mean the world to me. And I hope you enjoyed this episode. It was really fun recording this episode. The audio quality is a little bit touch and go, but the value's there. So we will get into the show. Welcome back to the Fit Pro Podcast. I am your host, Marvin Fayez, and today we've got another special guest. He goes by the name of Peter Zemes. He's America's Honest Fitness Coach and author of the number one bestseller, The Badass Body Blueprint, and about several others as well. Now, Pete, are you ready to kill this?
Dude, I'm ready to go.
Awesome. Pete, take a moment, let the listeners know who you are, and before we get into the show, yeah, just let them know who you are, the personal side of you.
Well, I enjoy talking about myself in third person, so I hail from Krypton, and Peter works with Hollywood celebrities, multimillionaire entrepreneurs, CEOs, and of course, the everyday superheroes that walk this planet. I am ambitious, challenging, unapologetic, and Peter has committed himself to reanimating the corpses of a million deserving men worldwide into the most healthy, attractive, and badass versions of themselves, so they can live the life of their dreams. I live by the cold truth above all, because, let's be real, nothing else is more important than the truth. Yeah, man, that's about it. And if you want some, like, personal stuff, let's see. I'm a diehard fan of the Toronto Maple Leafs, which makes me in constant peril. I love superheroes, Pokemon, biographies, and poker. I also dig surfing, skydiving, and green juice, and really, really fucking fast cars. And without a doubt, I prefer physical books and emphatically experience physical pain whenever I think about the rate at which they are being eclipsed by digital ones. So, there's that.
They're definitely one of the more entertaining introductions. Thanks. Absolutely. And that's the personality that's going to come through on this podcast, listener. So I hope you're ready. And now, Peter, you got to live up to Peter's hype. So, Pete, tell us about what makes you a fitness professional today?
What makes me a fitness professional? Well, I guess first step is that I am shredded. It's always the beginning. But, I mean, it comes from me being used to being a fat kid, actually, back in the day when I was growing up. And it was just one day, man, I just looked in the mirror and I was like, enough is enough. You know, I'm not this type of person. I'm meant for something more. I'm not this kid that just is overweight and lazy and fat, pretty much. And so I just went on a mission to kind of solve this issue. And it worked. Like, you know, I got shredded. I read everything. And man, there's so much bad information out there, you know, just like everything seems to contradict yourself. Don't you agree?
Yeah, it's the filtering through, what did I say before the podcast? I said it's the
ocean of shit.
Yeah, filtering through the ocean of shit, yeah, to get the decent information.
Yeah. So yeah, after sifting through the ocean of shit, I finally was able to find that little pearl. And I did get in shape. I would say not where I am now, but just shredded enough that I was very happy. But then I went to university, study exercise science. And just like anyone, my life changed dramatically when I moved into the dorm. And excuses started piling up, you know, college gym is too far, I have too much homework. I'll go to the gym after the next test. I'll start eating healthy next week. You know, the works. And then I met her. You know, man, that girl that managed to burn herself into your memory forever.
It's always the girl.
that one. And her name was Samantha, and she was gorgeous, green-eyed, 5'4" brunette, and she forever changed, I guess, the trajectory of my life. And
take care, man. Go. I'm in the story because I feel like I know this girl too.
Yeah. She radiated sex, sunshine, and joy, all without the least bit of effort, man. And when I met her, though, she was dating someone else. And being me, man, nothing stops me from getting what I want. So within 4 weeks, putting in all the effort, yeah, seduced her, and she was mine. Was it a dick move? Yeah, for sure. But, you know, I was young, dumb, and really couldn't care less. And so the next few months, we spent every day together and every night together, learning, experiencing, becoming one. Man, I could feel like I could see the universe when I looked into her eyes. Like a droplet of water telling you about the ocean. And are you listening right now? Like, dude, this is poetry.
This is why this mofo is a good book writer. He's telling a story and I'm listening.
Exactly. So, but yeah, like any good love story, it didn't stay all that rosy. You know, with the late nights and excessive partying, my weight started piling back on. And, I mean, she became my drug of choice to just escape. I hated not being around her. When I was away from her in class, away from her sweet smell, depression would seep into my bones. I let myself go, man. My standards dropped. Complacency crept in. And that's when I began losing her. And, you know, then it happened. She fucking broke my heart. A million pieces. Lately, I think she like, dipped my heart in gasoline one morning, just, like, lit it on fire and watched it burn. That's what it really felt like. You know, kidding.
Dramatic. But,
and yeah, man. Then like post depression breakup was pizza, booze, and partying. Like, and then I got really fucking fat, really fat. You know, everything I worked so hard for just like down the drain.
I think everybody's been through it, though. I think anybody that's takes their health seriously or has changed their body, again, there's always that. It may not be the girl, yeah. It may be the job, it may be a problem of some sort, mm-hmm. But it always happens, and it sort of goes, it does come back around over and over again, and it's the people that get up from that. So how did you get up from that? And what, as a fitness professional, you run a business now. You run a successful business. You're a young man that's very successful in what he does, which is you specialize in online training. And for very special people, you do one-on-one training from what I know of you. Now, you're very good at it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what made you decide to go down the route of doing online training versus one-on-one training like a normal personal trainer or a normal trainer?
Online training, I just gravitated toward it because of the freedom it offered me, as well as that I was able to change the lives of more people. That was really the main reason. One-on-one training was too time-consuming for the amount of dollars that I would be charging or the amount of time I would just be investing. Like, just the risk wasn't worth the reward, pretty much. Not the risk, but the effort.
So the leverage.
Exactly, the leverage. And I could just, you know, I could be training people around the world, and I could be in Toronto training someone in Perth, or I could be in LA training someone in New York, and I would have contacts all over the world. But as well as I could just meet people that I would never normally meet if I just stayed in person. I could expand my network, I could expand my knowledge, and really become that person that I was really meant to be, I think.
Yeah, man. And, I mean, it's the same thing with the podcast where it's leverage, because I was the personal trainer. I did try and help people on that one-to-one basis. But, man, this podcast can help everyone, millions of people,
yeah.
All at once. Continues.
I agree. This is...
So... It's the same thing when it comes to like your online training. That's why a lot of mm-hmm. trainers tend to transition, because for like the content that you put out, for example, you've got books, you've got best-selling books.
Yeah.
What sort of like, just explain to the listeners mm-hmm. how much of a resource that becomes for you once you've created it.
And it becomes some of the biggest leverages. I mean, the only reason I've been able to get like speaking gigs recently is because the main reason is that like I wrote a book, and man, like, guys, it's not that hard to write a book. You just sit your ass down and write, and like I understand, like trust me, the first draft fucking awful, absolutely fucking brutal, but you push through it, man, and you just like you just have to just sit down and just do the work, whatever it is. If it's not writing a book, maybe just making YouTube videos, or like Marvin is, maybe just making a fucking podcast. Like get in there and do the work. Like, that's all it is. And then you have something to be like, oh, I did this. And you have something to give instead of going always to get from some people.
Yeah, man. And it's, I think, like you said, it's creating that content, and then you've got a body of work that people can look at and go, wow, I want him around me. I want him to do speaking engagements. I want him to do all these things. And it is, yeah, what the point I'm getting at is, I want you to explain, well, you've explained the benefits, so I don't know what I'm getting at. It's actually lost me. This is the problem when you do a live, well, not live, a raw podcast. You forget stuff. It's real. It's not perfect all the time, so that's great. I'll probably remember it in a second. But, Pete,
yeah.
As a fitness professional today, how do you generate revenue?
Okay.
What's your main sources of revenue?
So I do my online coaching, which I have probably about like 30 or 40 clients right now. And then I have a program called The Solution, which is for my very, very high-end or committed clients. The package started at $18,000. It involves a lot more face-to-face time and some deep advances in like neuroscience and stuff like that that maybe the general population isn't necessarily ready for. But when you're invested that much, I mean, you just want results. So I give you it all raw, unfiltered, exactly what you need. And then I also have my book engagements, my book just the revenue from those, which is getting better. Wasn't my main source, but it is picking up significantly. And I've done speaking engagements. So I've done for free so far, which I might monetize those. I haven't decided yet. I enjoy speaking, so I don't think I will. I just think I'll just use it as leverage like anything else.
Beautiful. So you do the Gary V.
Pretty much.
Gary V, except you paid way less because you're doing it for free.
Yeah.
But so tell me about the price point of some of your packages. So for like $18,000,
yeah,
are people signing up and doing it?
Dude, I have a 6-month waiting list right now. It honestly, when I first put it up, I was like, what the fuck? No one's going to pay for this. And then, man, there's enough people in the world that like have this issue and they just want the solution, you know? They don't want any bullshit. They don't care about the price, man. Like, how much would you really pay for it to be fit for life? And not have to worry about that and have the health and the vitality that you dream of, pretty much, that everyone just envies you because of it. And you're the guy that goes to the restaurant, eats a pizza, and has abs.
Yeah, that used to be me. But then I ate too much pizza, but I'm strong as shit, so it doesn't matter. But so at 18,000,
yeah.
I mean, again, I think you hit the nail on the head with the price, because again, it's unbelievable for a lot of people. But how valuable are you to the marketplace? Do you believe you're worth $18,000? Do you believe the knowledge that you have is worth $18,000? So as a fitness professional out there listening to this podcast right now, I think the biggest takeaway from that is, what do you think you're worth?
Dude, you honestly, I remember hearing a quote, I forget what it was. But or it was a poem. It was a poem about asking for like how much life or money is worth to you in life. And I can't remember right now, but if I do, I'll just mention it. But honestly, you can do whatever the fuck you want. As long as you help someone else, you can charge whatever the fuck you want, because you're giving them value. You're giving them exactly what you want, what they need. And I honestly believe that the more people invest into something, whether that be monetary or time, the more they will actually use it and get out of it. That's why I have high-priced items, because someone who's paying $18,000 for this kind of coaching is going to get fucking results because they're already paying $18,000, not because, like, I have some, like, scientific, like, long-lost secret, but just because they do the fundamentals, but they're also so invested that they have no choice, really, to succeed. So that's where I think the price point comes from. And plus, my knowledge is pretty fucking amazing, so there's that too.
And you're modest too, so that helps.
Again,
it is very much, what do you think you're worth? What do you think your knowledge is worth? Because I can tell you from experience, where I've been a personal trainer in a commercial gym, and I've been able to charge upwards of $160 to $200 for three sessions, sort of thing. And 3 30-minute sessions, which may or may not even happen, but the people attach pain to that amount of money, so they come and they get results. Because when you attach a pain to it, and what you'll find is most people are either running away from or towards a pain at certain points in their life. So attach the pain to it. Most times it's money. That's a big pain for a lot of people. So if you can motivate them, they're either going to be motivated by getting healthy because they need to, because the doctors told them if you don't get healthy, you're going to get diabetes. Or they're either motivated by the fact that, again, there's a girl that they want to impress. There's a competition they want to do. So you got to find the motivating factors for people. But 99% of people, it's money, the pain of losing money. So they don't want to lose $18,000. They want to get something from that, so they're gonna put everything they have into it. So I think it's very smart what you've done there, and that's what all the top trainers do. Like, if you want to spend a weekend with Tony Robbins, how much is that gonna cost you?
Exactly.
A shitload, because how valuable is that man? And it's one of those things where I think fitness professionals need to wrap their heads around it, that there's not the standard price for things. It's whatever the hell you think it's worth. And mate, you've got to make a profit at the end of the day, and if you help enough people get what they want, you're going to get what you want. So that's a Jim Rohn quote, I think. Pretty sure it is. Yes, it is. Beautiful. See, I've still got all that knowledge in there. It's just in this head somewhere. Now, Pete, what is, as of late, okay, have you had a low moment? Have you ever had a moment where you've gone, I've got a crossroads here, I can go left or right, I can keep doing what I'm doing, or I can go and do something else because it's either too hard or I've had enough?
Mm-hmm. I would, even like recently, so in the beginning when I first started, like, man, it's hard to gain traction, especially in today's world. But, and that was very like debilitating. I don't know what the word is, but it was very depressing because, you know, you work so hard for like 6 months and you get like 5 new subscribers, especially in the beginning. It's very, very slow and people don't realize how slow it is. And so it kind of like, I almost quit. I was like, man, this isn't worth it. Like, let's put 6 months in effort and like maybe like $20. Should I really continue or should I go get a safe office job? And literally I was like, fuck no. How can I do this? Like, I love this lifestyle. I know that in 5 years, even if this fails in 5 years, I'll be like 25 or 26, whatever it is. And then I can get an office job if it really fucking fails, which it won't. Because if I keep putting out content, if I keep just sitting my ass down and doing the work, it will happen. So.
You just dropped your age there. So let's just put it into context. Pete's a 21-year-old charging $18,000. What are you doing? When it comes down to, everyone's going to have that point. I mean, it's not unnatural. It's not uncommon. And I think there's probably people listening to the podcast right now that are sitting at that point and going, fuck man, I'm just going to go back to school. I'm just going to go get an office job. What sort of advice can you give them to get out of that funk?
Yeah, that funk, man. Just sit down, do the work, and get around the right people. That's a very big thing. I've been fortunate enough in my life to get around some very powerful mentors. If I can name drop, we have John Romanello. He's a New York Times bestselling author. He's also chief bro of Roman Fitness Empire. I've had contact with Greg O'Gallagher, who runs Kino Body. Yep. Radu has been very helpful. And who else? And Vince Del Monte, actually. Vince Del Monte, who's a very big fitness professional, muscle building expert in Canada.
So get around the right people, because you know what they say, the average of the 5 people you hang around most. And if you hang around people that aren't trying to do anything out of the ordinary or just trying to be a number, you're going to be a number.
Like, the world has changed so much recently that, like, no matter what degree you get, unless you're becoming a medical doctor or, like, you really aren't even guaranteed a job anymore. I know I have a few friends who are MDs now, and, like, they, Like, some of them are still working, looking for work, ironically, because it's just so saturated, you know? It's terrifying. So why, like Seth Godin said, like, safe is the new risky. You can end up working for 30 years and all of a sudden you get fired, and then what? What have you built up, really? You built up nothing for yourself. All you have is, like, whatever income you saved, and that's all.
Yeah, and it's not... Again, it's just what society is doing at this point in time, but you don't have to follow what everybody's doing because, yeah, like you said, there's people out there that are going to university studying for 5, 6, 7 years, coming out and working at McDonald's.
Yeah.
Is that what you want to do? Like, is that what you want to do with your life? And if that's what you want to do, that's okay.
Yeah.
The point of this podcast is to motivate fitness professionals, people that are the best of the best, the ones that want to make a difference to other people's lives.
Yeah.
Now, if you're a fitness professional out there right now and you're stuck in that groove, I put a perfect quote up on Facebook today. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step.
Mm-hmm.
But, guys, that one step could take you 6 months. That one step could take you a year. It's all about the process. For example, this podcast will not make a dollar for a year because that's what I've set it at. That's what I know where my numbers will be for me to be able to do this full time. Okay, so I've set my numbers. I know what I need to do, and I'm not going to stop until I've reached my targets.
Mm-hmm.
Just do that with your business. Set some realistic targets. Ground yourself and just put in the work.
Dude.
Put in the work. Yeah. Suck it up.
Man, fuck 10,000 hours. Like, I think Malcolm Gladwell, he set the bar too low. Like, I'm talking about 50,000 hours of work at whatever the fuck your passion is so that you can become the greatest you can fucking be, man. Period. That's it.
Yeah. And that being said, it's all those hours you got to put in. It's the quality of time when you're awake. We're going to go on a little bit of a rant here, but I'm tired of the bro science and I'm tired of the people that aren't really working but are up at 4:30 in the morning to get an Instagram photo to say, what are you doing with your day? And then they're just going to go back to sleep. I don't get the sleep when you're dead mentality. You still need to be able to function.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I think Gary Vee had Arianna Huffington on.
Yeah.
And she was talking about sleep and how important it is. And unless you're a mutant, you can get 6 hours sleep or whatever. But I believe it's so, so very important, the quality of the time that you use. Like the quality of what are you doing in the 12, 14 hours that you have free in your day to make something of yourself? Like what are you actually doing? Look at yourself in the mirror and go, am I capitalizing? Am I playing my PlayStation and watching Game of Thrones, which there's nothing wrong with it, but just in moderation, god damn it. Just like put in the work and put in the quality effort.
Yeah, man. I 100%, I am on Team Marvin right now. Like
fanboying over here. Like, I don't get it, and I think that's going to be the shift for a lot of people is looking at themselves in the mirror. That was the shift for me,
mm-hmm.
where it's fucking 12 o'clock at night, 12:39 a.m. right now.
Yeah.
I'm doing this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Not to say I'm not going to sleep. I'm going to get my hours sleep. I'm going to get my sleep. Don't worry about that. I need it. But the quality of time where I've dedicated to doing the podcast, to getting the good guests on, this is what I have to do to get them on.
Yeah.
And I'll do it. Exactly. So moving on past those points. Now, we've talked about how you generate income. We've talked about your lowest point. What has been your highest point so far? What have you done where you've gone, wow, I feel like I'm on the right track. I feel like I've made it.
Dude, honestly, the highest point for me that has been, like, even though like I charge a fuck ton of money and whatever, the highest point literally is when I sold like the first copy of my book. And that was like, wow, like this shit can actually work, you know? I remember his name. His name was like Marvin Huerta or something, and he's from Texas. I remember it because I was just hanging out with some of my buddies, and I just get this email. It's like, oh, you just got like whatever $20, whatever it was. I'm like, holy shit! I was sitting here and I made money. This is unreal. And that was like, I was like, yo, this can actually work, you know? Until you sell that like first thing, like it's not, it's still like a dream. It's not real. But as soon as you get that, like whatever it is, $5, $10, whatever it is, man, it just becomes a reality. You're like, holy shit, this is actually possible. You know?
Yeah. And it's the culmination of the effort.
Yeah.
So, like, someone wants what I have, and now more people want it, and more people want it, and more people want it. I actually experienced this today.
Mm-hmm.
Not today, yesterday, where I was busy doing my day job, and I checked my downloads, my analytics for the show. And the previous 24 hours, I did my first 100 downloads.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit, 100 in a day?
Yeah.
100 in a day. Okay, so now I know I can do 100 in a day. Let's go for 500.
Yeah.
500 in a day is my next goal. But to put it into context, guys, in the first 24 days of the show, it was 1,100 downloads in the first 24 days. I just did 100 in a day.
I know, right? It's phenomenal.
Fucking insane. Like, it's still, I was so excited for the longest time. Like, even though it's such a small goal, it's like, man, I feel like a rapper right now. I've just sold 100 albums in a day. And that was the end of episode 11, part 1. Listeners, I hope you enjoyed that one. It was really fun recording with Peter. He's got a crazy energy. He's a young man. He's got a lot of promise. And I think it comes through the audio. Again, I apologize for the audio quality, but the content is there. And content is king. Now, if you enjoyed that episode, head to the Facebook page. Give us a like. That's Fit Pro Pod on Facebook. So facebook.com/fitpropod. Give us a thumbs up. It means a lot. And if you haven't already, head to fitpropodcast.com and click on your favorite episode. Leave a review. There's a leave a review button. It'll open it in iTunes. You need an iTunes account. Leave us a 5-star review and an honest comment. It means the world, and it would help me out. And I'm a starving kid. No, I'm not, but I'm a very hungry podcaster. So leave us a review, and we will catch you on the next one.